And now his last few verses, 18, 19 and 20. And in those verses, four or five or six times, the word reconciliation occurs. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. To be reconciled is one of the most lovely things on earth to know. One of the most liberating things. One of the most precious things. Of course, we should never have got into trouble with someone else anyway. We should never have rubbed someone up the wrong way. We should never have offended them anyway. But reconciliation, when two who have been loggerheads can be brought together in love and in friendship after all these years, is a wonderful thing. Maybe for 20 or 30 years it's gone on. Maybe you won't look at each other in the street. And both of you know why and how long ago it was. So ruinous is the thing that has put us both apart. And reconciliation would be a wonderful thing. But then it's difficult to achieve. If there's one who wants to be reconciled, he or she thinks to himself, I'm not sure about the other one. Perhaps if I talk to them after all these years, it'll only make matters worse. They'll drag out all the old things of the past. I don't think I'll continue. Don't think I'll bother. Would be nice to be reconciled, but it's too much to expect, too much to ask for. And then a friend of ours, who perhaps knows both sides and both parties, says, come on, I'll try and get you both together. If you're under one roof, but I'm there, there won't be too much squabbling. I'll be the one in the middle. I'll try and take each one of your sides and see if we can't find some middle way to put it right. Now, something like that is what is meant in the Bible by our being reconciled to God by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one in the middle. We are the ones who have offended God. He has not offended us, but we have offended him. Read through the Ten Commandments. There's a good chance that at some point in your life you have disobeyed three or four of them, if not all. And it is a death penalty offence to break one once in the sight of God. If it goes unpunished, his holiness is questionable. If one person's sins may go unpunished, another may think, well, it wouldn't be fair if you punish me, if I sin, so I'll sin. But God, who in his own person hates sin, hates anything that is unrighteous, unjust, unfair, impure, contrary to his will. These are things he hates. And the Bible tells us that he is angry with the wicked every day. So there are lots of people who are not reconciled to God, and lots of people with whom, on the other side, God is not reconciled. So here are warring parties, or at least parties that don't know how to begin, at least on man's side, don't know how to begin to put it right. Man says, I don't know. I don't know how to approach God. I don't know how I could put it right. Life's not always been easy. I think God has been against me. I don't know that he'll be fair to me. I'm not going to bother. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we should not perish but have everlasting life. The Lord has appointed a man in the middle, the man Christ Jesus. God is taking the initiative. He is the one who's been offended, but he is taking the initiative to put it right. And he's found just the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfectly God and therefore sees things utterly from God's side. But he's perfectly man, that is man as he should have been without sin, who can see things perfectly from man's side. But of course he is not going to argue with the Father, because you understand these people, they couldn't help doing it. No, his method of being the mediator, the one in the middle, his purpose in coming into the world, taking human flesh, was to be the one in the middle. He's not going to argue that there's another side to it. What he's going to do is admit that men are wrong, women are wrong, mankind is wrong, and bear their punishment in his perfect sinless body on Calvary's tree. That is the biblical way of reconciliation. That is God's appointed way of reconciliation. It is the way by which all things will become new, and the old order will pass away. We may begin again. How then do we begin? Well, the chorus was right and is right when we come as a sinner to Jesus. We are the ones who are in breach. We are the ones who've committed so many sins. Jesus is on the Father's side from the point of view of his revulsion against the things we have done. But he's on our side inasmuch as he has covenanted to pay the price for every one of those whom the Father has given him. He will bear their transgressions. He will bear the punishment for those transgressions. We couldn't bear it, it would kill us in the spirit. But he can bear it, and he bears it in place of us. So he takes our sin and makes atonement for it. It presupposes, therefore, that the one who is not reconciled to God, if he desires reconciliation moved by the Spirit, if he wants to come and be reconciled to God, has got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as the way back. And if he is to come to Jesus Christ as the way back, he then must begin to admit those things that are part and parcel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reason for coming. We have sinned. So each one who would be reconciled to God, who would be reconciled to God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, must approach his Son and plead, I have this terrible need. This is the law that I've broken. This is what I have done. This is what I've done. Repeatedly and often, And there must surely be many other things of which I'm not really aware that I have done. Dear Saviour, plead for me. Something like that has to be the approach of a sinner who is unreconciled to God. God has sent his Son into the world to make reconciliation. God was in Christ, says these verses, reconciling the world unto himself. The Father was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Christ was on the Father's side. Christ is on the world's side. Who confess and believe in him and come to him. The gospel, the good news, is that we may be pardoned of our sins, forgiven our sins, upon repentance and confession of our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what he went through, what he endured to pay the price of our sin should never allow us to be matter of fact or careless in the admittance of those sins that we have committed. It was the plan of God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. But it is that those who believe in him should have everlasting life. So, a sinner coming to the Lord Jesus comes for reconciliation. We're not being serious. If people come to church, they may come to be inquirers, they may sing the praises of God, and in their capacity as created creatures and God as creator, they may well do these things. But they're nowhere near being saved until that moment when the Lord moves in their hearts and makes it so that they are aware of their sin, that they're convicted of their sin. They begin to think how bad that sin is. And they begin to say, how can I be helped and saved? And there is one to whom they must come personally, to whom they may come, the Lord Jesus, who himself will bear in his own body on the cross the punishment of the individual sin. Until that happens, there is no Christ-likeness in us. So the Father loves reconciliation. Though he's been offended against, yet he loves reconciliation. He puts forth his hand, he puts forth his Son to draw wicked men and women to himself. He loves reconciliation. Now, you will know from earthly scenes, some people don't want reconciliation. They wouldn't have it at any price. Things have got so bad over the years, in their own mind, the things got worse and worse. They're not interested in being reconciled. But God is interested in reconciling. And the gospel pleads with people who need reconciling to see that need, to long for it themselves, and to come to Christ to be reconciled. What in essence does being reconciled to God mean? God reconciles the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Here is the essence of reconciliation. You and I, and all mankind, have committed sin against God. He will tell us, if we seek, in what ways we've done that. And he brings us, not to say any longer, I'm not interested, I wouldn't be reconciled at any point. Some people do persist in that way. But he brings men and women to that point when they say, Lord, I've sinned in these ways. Is there a way in which my sins will never come into remembrance again? In which they will be completely forgotten? In which they'll be overlooked? And yes, God says, there is a way. I do not impute their trespasses unto those who've been reconciled. Now the word impute is like the word compute. It means to calculate. But he doesn't calculate. He doesn't count against us or any believer the sins that we actually, really have committed. Not because he overlooks them or winks his eyes at them. He'd never be just if he did that. But because he's visited it in his son. The payment for our sin. And when somebody really realizes that, that this is what they've done, this is what they deserve to be condemned for, everlastingly condemned. And the Lord isn't going to count it against him. And why isn't he going to count it against him? Because his son has paid the price. What love we have for the son in those circumstances. What love we have for him. That he did this for me. That for such a worthless wretch as I am. That the one who never sinned has done this for such a sinner as I am. And God loves reconciliation. And the gospel is his outreach of reconciliation. He has committed unto us. That's those who've been reconciled. That's believers. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation to tell other people about this reconciliation. And that will involve telling them about what they've done wrong, what really the consequences of that are, how they must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. But the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, means speaking the gospel, preaching the gospel in all its aspects. And Paul says, of course, we're ambassadors for Christ in this matter. An ambassador is a man who maintains the principles of his own country in a foreign land, who represents the leadership of his own land. Now, we are ambassadors. We're no longer citizens of this world. Those who have been saved, those whose sins have been blotted out, belong to Christ. We're citizens of heaven. And we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him in an alien world. We are ambassadors for Christ. And God beseeches mankind by us. Paul uses the expression as though God did beseech you. But he does beseech you. The as though means actually it is really God who's doing it, though what you see is a man. We pray you. We pray you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. God wants reconciliation. He is the one that's taken all the steps. And we plead that has happened to us, we ourselves, on our part, should be reconciled to God. By believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, by taking on board everything that leads up to it, our sinfulness and so on. But the message of the gospel culminates in this, that it's saying to people, be reconciled to God. For he made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That his righteousness, not our own, might be counted, imputed to us. Reconciliation is a lovely thing after many years when it's accomplished. And we may approach the Lord through Jesus Christ to be forgiven and experience that loving reconciliation for ourselves. May it be so. Amen.